The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
OK, it's 12:05, you listen to Vectis Radio. It's now time for the lunchtime social discussion. Now, you may have heard all week we've had students in from Medina, and what they do is they get the opportunity to choose the topic and basically run the lunchtime social discussion until 1 o'clock. So, over to you, Oscar.
So, today's discussion is going to be about mental health in young teenagers, and the different types of depression and anxiety.
Okay, and we've got in the studio with us, we've got Kian.
Hello.
And we've also got Emily as well. Yep. And you've all done loads and loads of research. You've got to get a little bit closer to that microphone.
That.
Thank you, Emily. So who wants to start?
I'll start. So, yeah, like Oscar said, we're going to be talking about mental health in young people and where to get help, things like that. So first thing I think we should talk about is how we can defy if somebody has mental health, if somebody has an issue, and how we can figure that out and ask them what's wrong.
Yeah, exactly, because we just said mental health, like everyone has a mental health, like you have your physical health and you have your mental health, which there's basically a difference. If you have an issue, you go to doctor. If you have physical health, and with mental health, you should do the same.
But whereas mental health, people feel it's so alien, if you like to say, people don't feel like they should talk about it, they feel ashamed.
Yeah, because it's quite a new concept, but basically mental health just means that you have something that's kind of causing you issues in your day-to-day life. So that can range from different things, like we just talked about, most common ones are anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
But there's obviously also loads of different ones, and that's why we wanted to just kind of like get out there what kind of different things actually also class as mental health, because there's a whole range of anything that you feel like is unusual is basically classed as mental health.
And mental health doesn't have to be as extreme as full-on depression. For example, if you have a phobia of spiders, that is something to do with your mental health. It's not this such a rare thing to have. Like Emily said, everybody has a mental health, if it's something as common as a phobia of spiders, anything.
Yeah, exactly, and with depression, anxiety also, if you say depression, most people have a picture of someone physically being upset all the time, not being able to do anything, but that's not always the case. Like, you have different levels of depression, and also loads of different types, which we were going to go over next, which the different types of mental health issues. Like we said, depression is obviously a really common one, but also there's different types. Oscar, if you wanted to lead us into that.
So some different types of depression, just to name a few, there is manic depression. Kian, would you like to explain what manic depression is?
I like the way he's passing the buck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did everything on the anxiety.
Oh, how about we start with the anxiety then, if that's what you...
Back at you, Oscar. And anxiety is paranoia. So paranoia is the feeling of under threat, and it could be caused by a certain thing what's happening, even though nothing actually bad is happening.
That can be caused by many ways. Quite a common way people get very paranoid is abusing marijuana. So if they smoke that too much, they get extremely paranoid and just feel like they're under attack constantly, and they're just scared.
Yeah, with most mental health as well, it's affected by alcohol and drugs, which is quite a problem, because loads of people think, oh, I'm going to take drugs to make it feel better, but actually, like, for example, alcohol is a depressant, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Have you guys suffered from anything? Is it, you know, what made you pick this topic, Oscar?
Well, I feel I was bullied from year two to just the start of year five, and it did make me feel sort of like anxious coming in school some days, like feeling I was just gonna get picked on. And I didn't have many friends; I only had two really good friends. And whenever it was break time, I would always get pushed about, called names, and it really made me feel down. And
Lonely?
Yeah, very lonely. I only had two good friends to go to.
Do you feel? I mean, we touched on this out there, and it was a case of I went through school, and it was different to what you go through, purely and simply because I think there's a lot more pressure on you, and equally, there wasn't. You know, we didn't know too much about, you know, at school, especially being a kid. No one was depressed at school. We probably were at certain times of the year and at certain times in our lives, but no one really knew about it. And you know, now it's there. Everybody can see it. You're under pressure. You were bullied. You've also going to go through exams, pressure, and so on and so forth. So you've got an awful lot to come. Whereas all I had when I was young is there was no such thing as autism, Asperger's, or anything like that. Depression in kids? Now you're joking, aren't you? No one mentioned that. But we, you know, yes, okay. The only pressure that we had was whatever you do at school is going to define you. What job you get? That's it. That was the pressure. But you guys got to go through SATs. You got to go through all this stuff, and you're just saying, "Wow!" And you've moved from London to the island. You look at Emily. Emily's moved countries, and you know, we'll come to her in a mo. But you just think you go through all these incredible things. Whereas, you know, in my day, it was you lived on Pan. You went to a school on Pan. And then you went to another school on Pan, and then you went to another high school that was close to Pan. And that was it. It was all mapped out for you. Nobody got... everyone knew where they were going and so on and so forth. Whereas you guys, you float around, you do... I start off here, and I might go over that to that school and so on.
Yeah.
Because of that's better for me. And so you got all these things, all these changes that you have to adapt to. Which would you rather... would you have rather grown up in my time, or are you happy with your own?
It really depends. I mean, most bullying now is social media, but I would say back then, my dad said many stories about kids were like really nasty, and it was more physical back then.
Because as I say, you just mentioned social media. We didn't have social media.
Yeah.
And that do you think? I mean, I don't know what the facts and figures are, but do you think that most bullying now is done on social media?
It's probably where it starts.
Yeah, and it's not just bullying in social media. It's also, like, leaving people out and stuff like that. It's really big on social media. Because, like, you have group chats and stuff like that. Yeah. You have people that go, oh, why didn't I? Why am I not? Why am I not in that group?
Like, you're isolated from this friend group and you just don't feel like you have anybody to talk to, which could be another thing. Yeah,
and you also have the kind of stuff with body image thing. It's really big on social media, which is one of the... mental health problems is eating disorders, which has also increased a lot since you have social media, because you constantly get reminded of this is what you're supposed to look like, this is how skinny you're supposed to be, which is also a big problem.
How do you combat that then? You know the pitfalls of that. You've just said that you're aware of that, and people will say, so what do you do to combat it? Do you not go on Facebook? Do you just block it out? Or are you hurt by it all?
No, I mean, it's like, it's different because you just have to be aware, like, loads of people don't really think about it. They just see a person, but you have to think about those people, like, those really famous people. They've got photo shoots to make them look in the best angle with the best lighting, and, like, stuff like Photoshop is used in a lot of pictures, which some people don't consider. Like, it doesn't necessarily affect everyone, but it's if you're already in that mental state of being very vulnerable, it can affect you more.
How are you?
How am I?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good.
Do you think we ask that enough? You know, how are you? And I say, here we are, we're talking about a really quite, you know, a subject that it will affect everybody at some point in their life. But, you know, we feel alone when people don't ask us how we feel. So I'm just asking, how do you feel?
I'm good.
You're in control of everything? You're okay with everything?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
I feel like the problem with asking someone how are you, it's like a normal, it's like a greeting. You go, how are you? But no one really wants to hear, I'm bad. You just want to hear, I'm good, and then you move on with the conversation. Mm. It's like it's just become a very
generic.
Yeah, it's
not very, looks like, it's not really a question anymore.
Yeah, it's more just of a, why
didn't
oh,
you're
get,
all right. Yeah.
You're good.
and we say, we're good, or mustn't grumble, or something.
You know, whatever,
But sometimes maybe we should talk more and ask that question. How are you, Oscar?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm enjoying myself.
Good. Now, obviously, when you turned up on Monday, you have this habit of staring into space and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you sort of float around and things, and I just think there's a lot going on in your mind, and you've already, you know, already mentioned that you've been bullied at school. How are you now?
I'm really enjoying this. Like, really enjoying this.
Good.
I just feel really comfortable, relaxed, and it's like talking to friends normally.
But can you take, you know, when you just put yourself back in the school mode, what stresses you out about school? Because obviously it does.
I think, like, some teachers, they don't teach us enough. And I just feel really, like, anxious saying, oh, you haven't taught us this. And when they go to teach us that, they don't really have an idea what they're teaching.
Yeah, I feel like a big problem as well, because we just did mocks, all of us, because in year 10, at the end, you do mock exams.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you have the normal exams, which is you get tested on everything, and then you have some subjects, like we talked about earlier, about chemistry.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where there's some things we haven't learned yet.
Literally 90% of the paper was on subjects that just we haven't even been heard of, because they just hadn't mentioned it to us or anything, so we were... I'm going to say most of us most definitely did fail that exam.
And that is, like, you saw a lot of people coming out of that exam really upset, because, like, people like me, who usually, like to do quite well, it's like, if they just tell you, oh, you're going to do that exam without telling you, oh, you haven't learned some of these things yet, if you come out and think, I didn't know any of that, it puts, like, people really down, because they think, oh, I don't know anything. It's, like, it's a big problem with our school.
Do you want another thing? When you sit an exam, you're like, oh, that wasn't nice, that was quite hard, and then you hear somebody like, oh, that was easy.
Oh, yeah,
that
I know.
Makes
yeah,
you that, feel that's so bad.
Oh, that's awful.
So what would you said you did your mocks very recently, mm-hmm. and what happened was you struggled with it?
Yeah, it's just certain subjects. Like, I heard afterwards that some teachers told their students, oh, yeah, don't worry, you don't know some of the topics yet, so just don't worry about question 4, 5, and 6, that kind of thing. But, so, like, our teachers didn't tell us that. So we were just there, like, thought we should know all of this, and then turn around and exam, we're like, I don't know what this is all about.
I can't believe that that's actually happened. Yeah. What, you know, when you think they're mock exams, what is a mock exam?
A mock exam is just, like, it's like sitting your normal GCSE exam.
Yeah, to give you an idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah, because you sit in, like...
Doing something you don't know?
No.
Yeah, I've learned that's bad.
Yeah, it's supposed to more put you in the environment, because, like with the GCSE, they put you in the hall, they take away your bags, your phones, all of that stuff, have the invigilators walk around you. It's kind of putting that kind of pressure on you of doing it now.
But if you're doing an exam and they tell, even if they do tell you, hey, look, half of this exam you're not going to understand, that's not putting you in the same situation as a year later.
I feel that's wrong.
I do.
Yeah. And they should teach us
unnecessary pressure.
Yeah.
They should teach us everything we should know in the exam, and said, oh, yeah, we'll just go through all of this. All of this is going to turn up in the exam. Not just, oh, you won't know half of this exam, but it's okay, we won't teach you it anyway. You need to teach us that before we actually sit in the mocks, so we have a clear idea what we're doing, then we can just revise it all in year 11.
Yeah, I feel like because they're doing mock exams more and more over the years, that's like, because you said more stress at our school, I feel like that's a big thing, like the whole mock exam thing is very, it's very different.
School is just now so stressful, like you were saying, it is just, yeah, it's so much more stressful.
The only other pressures that I used to have at school, and you're talking about peer pressure and things like that, was... And being, you know, if you're on Facebook and the amount of likes that you get, and if you're included and things like that. Going back to my day, if you weren't invited to someone's birthday party, that was the equivalent.
Yeah.
And you think, that's really sad, because everyone knows it. Everyone else in the street has been invited, you haven't. And that's nothing like the stuff that can go on today.
And that's an actual thing, though, because we learned that the other day. That's an actual term for, like, fear of missing out. It's actually, like, one type of mental health problem, which, like you said, like, not being invited to stuff, that is actually, like, one type of mental health, Dave. Like, it's quite a new thing.
Yeah. I mean, just so, for instance, when you are, you know, 13, 14, that's quite hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 35 and 40 and you've been through life a bit, you think, oh, I don't care, I never wanted to go anyway. But, you know, when you're a kid, that's hard to understand and fathom, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
So it's really quite scary, and I think sometimes we don't listen. What's lovely about this is you've all got experiences, and we're listening to them, and maybe one day we'll podcast this and we'll send this to people that can make a difference. The first difference I want to make is, and we should, as a group of people now, make the point of, when you do a mock exam, let's do a mock exam where
we know what we're doing, yeah.
And yes, otherwise there will be an element of those people that would take that away and think, well, I've done really, really badly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to put more pressure on them.
Yeah, they just feel bad about themselves.
There'll be an element of certain people that think, right, I didn't know that, right, I'm going to go and fix that. But we've got to deal with the people
that just give up after that, yeah.
It's going to affect.
And imagine if that was real exams, that you feel like you did badly and your teacher didn't teach you any of that, and it really affects you because you won't get the job you want.
Okay, let's take you back. Because year two to year five doesn't really mean anything to me. So how old were you?
I think around 8, 9, 10 years old, yeah.
So from a very early age, you were bullied, which would have led to you being isolated, you know, anxious, depressed maybe, and so on. And, you know, you guys were, when did you at some point in your life feel like under pressure when you went to school? When did, so for instance, you mentioned that you were unhappy off air, and I don't know how long ago that was, but when did it suddenly kick in that, hang on, this is, I'm really not happy? Is it high school?
Or college? It's definitely high school that I think it takes a full-on toll on your life, that you realise that something isn't right, and then you don't... I didn't know what to do. I just sort of... I was with you, and I cried. I didn't know what to do.
So that was obviously a dark time.
Yeah.
And what did you do to come through it?
Just lived on. Just, I don't know. Just
talk to people?
I spoke to Emily about it, yeah.
Yeah?
I speak to Emily about a lot of things, yeah. And having somebody to talk about is nice, and it does take a massive load off of you, and you just don't feel as heavy and as weighted as you normally do, yeah?
Mm. Yeah, because it is, if you talk about it, it's like sharing your problem, because even, like, you don't even have to be, you can just talk to someone, they don't have to have a solution for it. Like, it's not like saying, oh, you need to fix it now. Yeah. It's just like kind of sharing how you're feeling can make it feel a lot better.
Sure. I've kind of gate crashed, so I mean, if you want to lead us on to other topics, feel free to do so.
So one type of anxiety is hoarding. So hoarding is something that you could be very attached to. For example, if a mother wants to keep her son's like old clothes when he was little, it's the fear of throwing things away, which might not be valuable but are valuable to the heart.
Yeah, no, they have trouble letting go of things that don't have any value, and they take anything whenever they can. They can't get rid of anything, and that's not, I wouldn't say common, but that's something that most people, again, wouldn't classify as a mental health disorder.
Mm-hmm. But it is, like, loads of people have it in small areas. Like, I'm sure loads of people have, like, things from when they were little. You just associate emotions with certain objects, and just when you're a hoarder, you have it with everything, every object you get, you see some memory instantly with it, and that's why they can't get rid of it that easily.
Yeah.
Are you a hoarder?
I sort of am. I have a load of these. So when I was little, I was obsessed with collecting Mario soft toys. So I have about 20, 30 of them.
All right.
But I just can't let them go.
Okay.
Wait, when did you start collecting them?
Age of 5, and I think I gave up when I was 12.
And you've still got them now?
Yeah, I still got them now. One is in my bed. I cannot let that go out my bed.
That's sweet.
Does that keep you... You know, a lot of people have comfort blankets and things like that. Is that something that works for you?
Yeah, I sleep really awkwardly. I lay on my front, and I normally just put my head into the soft toys. I don't know why.
Right.
Just rest my head against them, and I just feel comforted.
Okay. you made a point of saying that you feel relaxed this week. Do you feel, compare the two, school, at school, and here. How, and what's the difference?
I feel like teachers say, oh, work is so stressful, you got to do this, you got to wake up here, you can't say the wrong things and all that. But I feel like when actually coming to work experience, they do say, like, over-exaggerate things. I think they really do over-exaggerate it. Because all you need to do is be polite and respectful, get on with the work and all that, and you should be fine.
Okay.
And work employees can become friends as well.
Let me chuck something at you, all of you, really, because as I say, the one thing that we want to get out of this is to make people aware of how young people feel.
Yep.
And, you know, there is that element of looking at it from the other angle as well, because you will look at the teachers and you might think that, oh, hang on a minute, you're a bit anti, you're a bit grumpy, and you're not doing your job properly, and so on and so forth. And you think, they must be under the same sorts of pressures as you, same sorts of stresses as you. I would imagine that most teachers just want to teach, but their hands are tied because there is legislation in place that say that they have to do it that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you might be stressed, they might be stressed, and that makes for a really bad clash.
Yeah.
It does. It doesn't make. So maybe we've got to make these points. Maybe we've got to make people aware of this is what we're going through. I'm pretty sure that we all know, because you know we all know that youngsters are under pressure with SATs, exams, and so on and so forth. We all know that, you know, teachers are under pressure with what they've got to do, the hours that they do. Some people think, oh yeah, they have six weeks off in the summer and Easter holidays as well, but it's not like that. I know certain teachers that are marking stuff and still working till 11 o'clock at night. And you think they're under the same sorts of pressures,
and they have to take time out of their own when they're off weekends. They're still doing it, which I personally don't think is very fair, because it's not their working hours. They didn't sign up for that.
What would you like to see happen? I mean, just say, for instance, I look at it and I think, right, what you've got at the moment is an element of this all needs to change. Teachers and what they teach, some of that needs to change as well. The way we treat young people in school, the way we put pressure on them and so on, that needs to change too. So we need to make some changes so that it works properly. I mean, we mentioned this yesterday about you guys have to stay on at school for 2 years longer now.
Yeah, you know, until we're 18, yeah.
I left school 3 weeks before my 16th birthday. There was no pressure on me to stay. I never had a job to go to. I got one during the summer holidays. But it's now, if you're there longer, then maybe the pressure doesn't need to start until later.
But it isn't you have to stay in normal school like you have. You can go college, which is just doing it half time, so you don't do it like in school, being there the whole day, every day. So there is different forms.
Yeah, you can do apprenticeships and things like that, yeah.
And stuff like that. But it's like, it's loads of people don't really know the difference, so it's just like educating them on what you could actually do.
Okay. Just going back at a slightly different angle, we mentioned this on Monday, you all chose your exams, what you were going to do. And I don't know, I can't remember whether you said that you know, you wish you'd been slightly older because you could have made a better decision. And so straight away, there's that pressure to an early age. And same thing for me. Age 13, you had to say, right, the last final years of your days at school, you had to pick your proper exams and so on and so forth. Are you saying that we're not equipped at that age to do it?
Yes.
Which leads to pressure.
Yeah, because I think our choices that we make for our GCSEs are sort of a foundation of what our job could potentially be, but at a young age we don't know what we want to do. Mm. So it's sort of just, oh, I fancy that, why not, you know? It's not really a educated sort of option.
Yeah, and loads of people just go, oh, that one sounds easy, I might do that, I don't have to do much homework for that one.
Yeah, exactly. It's just,
yeah, and it's like, it's our school especially, our school chooses it 1 year earlier than other schools on the island, because they're saying, oh, we want you to get the subject knowledge for your options in early. But it's like, that is obviously one aspect which is good, because we've done our options for 1 year longer than other schools have. But it's like, they say you don't have to know what you want to do yet, but then at the same time they want you to choose your options.
Yeah, so you kind of do have to know what you want to do. It's very mixed messages, and yeah.
Okay, look, we've got loads of things that you've obviously got paperwork there. Yep. What's the next topic you want to go on to?
Should we talk about PTSD?
Yeah.
That's a type of anxiety which can develop over... It could start very early. Let's say, for example, getting bullied. If you're in a car crash, anything, if a stressful event can cause PTSD. And basically what it is that event keeps on replaying in your head, and at certain times certain things can trigger it, and is a very sort of hard thing to live through. You have flashbacks of that moment, and it's, you can't live the same with that. It's quite common in
veterans,
yeah, soldiers, things like that, yeah. And they just can't cope with these memories of killing people, or, you know, getting shot at, these things like that, and it's a terrible thing to go through.
Yeah, and I think the problem is, with, like you said, it can be in young people.
Yeah.
With some, like, with events that happen when you were really little, some people, like, their memory blocks it out, but they still have that anxiety from that event, but they can't remember it ever happening.
Do you know of anybody or yourselves? Can you talk about that in experience without giving too much away?
No, I don't think so. Not too sure if I know anyone.
I don't know anyone personally, but I know examples of, like, young people having PTSD. A couple of years ago, there was a Ariana Grande concert, and there was a, like, terrorist attack there or something.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of young girls or boys who went there, they could suffer from PTSD, and whenever they hear, I don't know, like a shooting noise, a screaming noise, it can just instantly remind them of that.
Yeah, it is. You have, like, with PTSD, loads of things, like you said, you have triggers for certain things. Like, if you hear certain noises is a bigger one, that kind of triggers the memory. Which is why it's really important that people know that you have it.
Because then, like, you can sort of prevent that thing from triggering,
exactly.
So, obviously, these things that you've kind of, you've got to know that you've got it, and in some cases it's very difficult to know.
Yeah.
Especially when you're, you know, young years of knowing what depression is and why you're feeling it. You just, in some ways, it's just a case of, I don't know what it is, I'm just grumpy, or I'm just tired, I'm just this, I'm just that. It's very difficult to sort of pinpoint it and what to do. But if, just say, for instance, if we could give some advice here, if you're worried about your own state of mind and health, I'm guessing you should go to your doctor. Maybe, you know, if you can.
Not even a doctor, maybe just a family member, say, I don't think I'm okay and I need help.
Have you got details? Is there a website that we can go to and just talk about this? Because obviously we want to pinpoint as well, because there will be people out there that have gone through all sorts of stuff. They're wondering why they're feeling, differently. And, you know, that they will want to know what to do about it. Otherwise, it's a case of, I guess it's what we used to do is not know anything about it, just get on with it. But that's not the answer.
Yeah, definitely.
And it isn't.
Yeah, because like you said, you can go to your doctor, who will advise you to specialists, like health clinics, like we have some on the island as well. Like, they are everywhere. But you also have, like, because you have loads of people that don't particularly want to go to something like a counselling session. Because then you, like, I've been with my friend and one quite recently, and you sit there with loads of people, and you just, there's like a stigma of it, of people sitting there, and you're like, oh yeah, you look like you're really anxious. And that's why you have people that, you have certain doctors that can, you can meet in a public place, like you can go, can we meet at a cafe and talk there, just to get away from
it. Feels a little more normal.
Yeah, or there are certain ones that can go to your house, but a big one is like meeting in a cafe, meeting in like a park or something, just to kind of be in an environment that you're comfortable in to talk about things.
Sure. Obviously, we spoke about that earlier on, about the mental health as well. The word mental.
Yeah, it's just not a nice sounding word.
Would you change it?
I would. Yeah, I would, because mental is, personally for me, it does make me think of sort of an insane asylum in the 1800s. It just, you know, mental does have a bad stigma to it. It sort of sounds just crazy.
Okay. Well, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
When he came to you, when you spotted that he was, you know, Kian was not, you know, on top of his game, depressed, anxious, you know, what advice did you give him?
What advice? I said, talk to me, definitely. I was like, if anything, just, like, talk to me, because that's, like, a big thing with people. They say it once, like, they say, oh, I'm feeling them, but then when they have, like, because it comes in phases, obviously, you have, like, phases where you're really upset, and then they're like, I don't want to talk to them, I don't want to bother them with my problems. And that's like a big thing with, like, you just, like, if you had known anyone that you think might have a problem, it's just making them aware that you're always there to, like, talk to them or just to listen. It's like you said, I can't
fix
it.
Yeah, you can't find a solution, but just getting it, you're just saying it and sort of flushing it out.
And like you said earlier, just, like, asking, like, sometimes when you see it, be like, yeah, how are you feeling today? You're a bit better.
Yeah, literally, even as simple as just, are you all right? Maybe once or twice can just sort of make them realise, no, I'm not, and I should talk to someone, you know. It's...
And how are you now?
Oh, no, I'm all right now.
Do you get the feeling, you know, you've been there before, and you know that, and I mean, people will tell you, they've all got different experiences, whether they're getting sucked into a big hole, or whether they feel themselves getting down, can you spot the signs?
When it happened to me, I sort of noticed that every day when I was going to school, because once I was out of school, I was fine, I think it was school in general, every time I was on my way to school, I felt nervous and not safe.
Right.
And then I feel like if it were to happen again, yeah, I would be able to spot it, unless it does come quicker, because, like I said, when I was going to school, I did just feel terrible, and then when I was in school, it just escalated into worse and worse, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Oscar?
I can spot people if they're feeling down, and I know if they're acting weird.
What about yourself, more importantly?
I don't really notice. Like,
do you notice when you know if there is a time that you start thinking, well, hang on a minute, I'm starting to feel a bit.
Oh yeah, definitely. Not right. Definitely.
You can spot the signs.
Yeah.
Can you pull yourself out? What do you do?
Really depends about the situation, to be honest. If I'm getting made fun of and all that, I sort of lash out, and it's not good. It just doesn't make me feel good about myself. That's why I lash out. But recently, I tend to...
Physically or verbally?
Both? Mostly verbally. Yeah. I used to do it physically, but now I've just stopped doing that altogether.
Right.
I have to be, like, physically touched to physically attack someone. It doesn't... I just don't go out punching people anymore. It's just not me.
Anymore.
Yeah, I used to be quite an angry person, and that's probably to do with my bullying. I get really wound up easily if people call me, like, certain names, but like,
is Oscar the Second all right?
Yeah,
cool.
But soon as I got into, like, year 9, 10, I really don't care what people say anymore. But if I see someone else picking on someone, that's what really, really gets to me.
Yeah, that's the same with me.
Because that just reminds me of when I was bullied, and I just don't want that happening to people.
I can't stand fighting. Because that is quite a big thing in our school, like physical fighting.
There's been a lot recently.
We've had, like, an incident where someone was said, oh yeah, they're going to go fight someone, and there was, like, people literally saying they're going to have weapons. We had police surrounding the whole school once we came out of school.
Terrible, really is, because it's not, it shouldn't be like that. It's supposed to be a school environment, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels like, I don't know, going into some sort of ghetto, and
it sort of feels like a TV show in a way.
Yeah,
definitely. I had it was like a big week. That was like one week when we had like 16 fights in one day.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It was like a week, and then it settled. But it's like I literally had like some of my friends. We usually sit in the canteen and then like walk around in school, and they were like, "Do you want to go for a walk?" And you're like, "No, I don't want to go. I don't know what I'm going to see if I get out of this canteen." Like, it's like it makes people real, really scared. It's obviously in a school, you shouldn't have that. You shouldn't be scared to walk around a school or go to the school.
Yeah, you should feel comfortable in a school 100% of the time. You should never feel uncomfortable.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to say what we should be doing then about these kind of things. In an ideal world, what would you like to happen? It's all about alleviating the issues, the problems, isn't it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to have them, but how do we spot them? How do we help ourselves, and how do we stop it from happening? I mean, these sounds like your experiences all sound very much like because of something, it's happened, and if we take that away, it won't happen. You know, I'm not saying that you can't, that you're never ever going to do an exam. Yeah. It's all right. We're not going to put any pressure on you at all. No, we need to. You know, people need to have some kind of pressure applied. But when you're doing a mock exam and you haven't been taught those subjects yet, that don't help. That's one thing we can change. And if there's anything else that we feel that we should, then maybe we should mention that in a moment. It's 20 to 1, and we'll take a quick break. We'll come straight back.
Vectis Radio. 104.6. The heart of the island's community.
Dreading a visit to your optician, knowing that every time before has cost a fortune? Those days are over. Whitesight tailor-made prescription eyewear specialists are now in Cross Street, Ryde and Shooters Hill, Cowes. Call in with your prescription for the cheapest quote on the island before buying your next pair of glasses. We have glasses for everyone, starting from as little as £25. With a range of sunglasses and designer glasses, ranging from Jimmy Choo, Oakley, Ray-Ban and many more. For more information, call Ryde on 61882 or Cowes 3035.
Hi everyone, we are the White Bay Hotel, situated in Sandown, one of the island's best kept secrets. With breathtaking views of the coastline and just 5 minutes walk to the beach and town centre. Within our hotel is a large fully catered restaurant and bar with free Wi-Fi and parking. Check out our customer reviews and feedback. For more details, call 01983 402518. For bookings or inquiries, that's 01983 402518.
Island Harbour presents The Breeze Restaurant and Bar. We offer a variety of delicious foods which can be enjoyed inside the recently refurbished restaurant or outside, overlooking the picturesque marina. Start your day well with something from our breakfast menu. Enjoy afternoon tea with a slice of freshly made cake, or drop by for an evening meal with the family. We offer a range of tasty British classics with a choice of daily specials. Our produce is locally sourced to ensure quality and taste. The Breeze Restaurant and Bar, one of the Solent's best kept secrets. Call us today on 533-388.
The Isle of Wight Kidney Patient Association is here to help all renal patients on the island. We also offer support to the local dialysis unit. We can help with financial backup for patients and partners with travel expenses for a hospital treatment. We also have a program of social events and activities, as well as fundraising that links the community together. Call us on 01983 611 671 or visit our website on iowkidneypatientassociation.com.
My time at Vectis Radio has taught me many skills that will help me throughout life. They have taught me to take time and care into how I present myself to people so I don't miss opportunities. And they've boosted my confidence, which allows me to stand out more from the crowd. They reinforced the knowledge to organise necessary materials before any event and to think ahead so you don't get caught off guard. Ultimately, this has been a fantastic opportunity to learn crucial life skills and has helped to make me feel more comfortable in a professional environment. If you want to get involved and try it for yourself, then check out the 4P's website. That is 4ps.org.uk.
The average radio station has 500 tracks on a rolling playlist. We have over 5,000. This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. PC Consultants, an award-winning company celebrating 25 years in business.
Welcome back to part two. We've got in the studio students from Medina College. We've got Oscar, we've got Emily, and we've got Kian. And Kian is going to lead us into the next topic.
Previously we were talking about different types and where they could occur. We didn't touch on a lot of people, I'm guessing, will have problems at home because, like we were saying on the break, divorces in families are very, very common, and that sticks with them, and it will, and it's back in the 50s it wasn't, people were together and happy, but now it is, not everyone, but a lot of families are breaking up, and I think it's because a lot of relationships now, they're getting together at such an early age.
Yeah, and it's also like you said, with religious aspects, you haven't got the stigma of, oh, if you break up, that's a really big sin, because loads of people aren't extremely religious anymore. So that, and it's like, it has a bigger, I think, like, the adults obviously are aware of it, but, like, it's some people it really affects, and also, like, you said earlier, Ian, that it, like, affects how they want to live their life, like, was thinking, oh, marriage has no point anyway because I'm going to get divorced, or not wanting their kids to go through the same thing.
Mm. And we make that mistake of saying, and I don't, I think parents tell themselves this because it makes them feel better. Oh, it's all right, they're resilient, they'll get through it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay, some, most, maybe, yeah. Most may go through without any issues whatsoever, but then there will be young people that become teenagers.
And they'll stick with them, yeah.
And it will stick through, and it's only, like, later in life that it actually comes out.
Yep.
It's a bit like just going back to your teddy bear situation. There's a reason for that. There must be a reason for that. And I'm not saying you should talk about it now, but at some point later on in your life, you'll think, why is that?
I honestly have no idea. I don't know, it just makes me feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when your mum would probably say now, at some point in her life, she said, I'm never touching vodka again. Or I don't like vodka. If you offered her a vodka or something, and she, oh no, I don't drink vodka. And if you probably don't drink vodka because she had an experience with it years and years ago. And it's those kind of things that stick with you. And I know that sounds a little bit trivial, but that's the sort of thing. So at some point in your life, that teddy bear thing, that story, that thing, that reason will come out. I'm sure it will. And hopefully you'll deal with it. Because you can't get married and do things like that. You know that, don't you, with teddy bears? Oh. You know,
maybe the girl will replace the teddy bear. Maybe that's why you don't want to. You always want to have somebody.
Yeah.
I think we're putting Oscar on the spot. I think he's looking right now.
All right, who wants to tackle the... We should point out some telephone numbers. Let's do that before we forget.
The NHS website has plenty of contact numbers, support places to go, everything like that, even going to a hospital. And I'm sure there is a special clinic. Like we said in here, there are clinics and...
And there's loads of websites out there. Like, it's really good. I feel like the internet has got good things. Like, if you Google anything that can hint towards you having depression or, like, putting yourself at risk, it does automatically. The internet will give you, if you have any problems, call this number.
There's an instant, anything to do with suicide or depression, it instantly has a support number at the very top. So if somebody is having any thoughts, there's a instant thing there that they can contact.
And the thing to point out, most of all, is don't feel like you're any different to anyone else, because we've all gone
everyone
through
has a mental health,
everyone's
and all
different
going
as well.
To go through it at some point.
Yep.
And you know, some people don't realise that they're going through it, but they are.
Yep.
But we've all got, like you say, mind health, our health.
Yep.
You know, you call it what you will. I mean, we can argue over that, but we're all going to have something at some point. And already, and the sad thing is that young people too. I mean, it's not a myth, you know. Oh, young people don't suffer from. Yes, they do. Sadly, they do. And don't, you know? Normally, it will be a grown up that says no such thing. And okay, don't push it away to suit yourselves.
Yeah,
because young people suffer as well.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier as well. It's like the kind of the words, what they mean. Like some people say, "Oh, you're just a bit upset." It's like, it is like a difference of some, and not just adults, it's just people being uneducated about it. They'll be like, always anxiety, but like, oh yeah, in my days we just used to call it worried.
Yeah.
But they're definitely like, just because it's like a statement of reoccurring and actually affecting your life a lot. And like you said with like the depression, it's not just being upset, but it's like it's having it all the time. And I feel like some people don't really see how it's different.
I think if children were sort of educated about it earlier, you know, like our APORS course that we're doing about sex ed, if it was taught to a child at a young age, then it wouldn't be such an alienated sort of subject to talk about. It would be just a normal, oh, I'm feeling a bit down, I should go and see someone about it. I think that'd be a great way to tackle it, because then everybody will be open about talking about it.
How does it, you know, in schools, is it talked about? Is there someone that you can go and see? Is there a point of people saying there are people that you can go and see? Is there something set up in schools? Is it ever discussed?
It's not. I don't think so. Emily, you were saying about...
Yeah, we were saying about how that's different. It depends what kind of mental health issue you really have, because, like, my friends, like, I know loads of people that have anxiety, and if you're in your lesson and some people that just sit in their lesson, they're like, yeah, I can't sit here. They have got a thing like a timeout card where you can just go outside of the lesson quick and just remove yourself from the situation. Same with people who have like anger control issues. They do issue like timeout cards, so you can just go outside for a minute, like take a quick breath and get on with it. And you can talk to like the people in our house office, so you do have like people you can talk to, but it's not like you were saying.
Because I get like ridiculously angry as well, and I've asked the school for anger management a couple of times, and they said yeah, but nothing. It's probably been about 3-4 months, and they just haven't done anything about it.
Okay. Yeah, so they do say we've had some assemblies on bullying, but I don't think the bullying's tackled well at all at Medina. They don't seem to stop it at all. There's a kid I know, and he's really nice. He's a gentleman, but kids just pick on him for no reason. And all they say to this kid is just like, "Oh, don't hang around with them," and all that. But it's not him hanging out with them. It's them coming to him,
yeah,
and acting like his
attacking
friend.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I just think there should be. I think there is a club. Where a certain amount of students just get together and hang out in a room. But I think there should, like Keane said, I think there should be an anger management as well. Because I've seen, there was this year seven and he lashed out for, I don't know what reason it was, but he lashed out and he started going crazy and kicking doors and everything. Yeah, it's just awful.
And it's like a thing of like, if you actually know that you have it, because we do have people at our school, if they have like ADHD or learning difficulties, you do have, what do you call them, like teachers that go around with them.
Oh yeah,
like,
they have
LSAs. Yeah. My mum was one, and everyone loved her, but I feel like some LSAs at schools, I think they're a bit harsh on the students and shout at them. I think students should be tackled without shouting.
I don't know, because they can't. They should be shouted at, because they can't have this complete separate treatment to everyone else, because then they would just do whatever they want and that'd be that, because you know everybody has to be treated somewhat equally. But no, I do see what you're saying.
I think it's more like not particularly shouting, but in a toned voice.
And it is like with some like teachers as well. It's like inconsistencies, that sometimes they'll be okay with people doing certain things, and then sometimes they're like, "No, that's really wrong."
Yeah.
But it's like you have to have the consistency of saying like what you can and can't do.
Yeah, you need to have these rules that will be a solid sort of thing that stay, not changing it around.
Well, it's strange you say that, because obviously going back to my, and I can only talk about my experience at school. The other difference is that we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have those things, but we had discipline.
Yeah.
And the discipline was, if you misbehaved at a high school, which was then, obviously it was Medina High School, you'd have got a cane.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a slipper, it would have been a cane.
Yeah.
It would have been a full-on cane. And, you know, it's really, when you look back over the time that I was at school, it was like everyone was getting the cane because they were being naughty. And when I spoke to one of the who taught at Gray is a great name. But, he was there, and he was the one that did most of the caning.
Yep.
I bumped into him some years ago. My son was playing football, and his grandson was playing in the same team, so we had a chat, and he was saying that the discipline in schools had changed dramatically, and unfortunately they don't have that. Certain kids need that fear of, you can't do that. And he said, but the trouble is, everyone thought that I was caning everybody at the time. In 22 years of schooling, have a guess how many people he did actually cane.
Not five.
It was 12.
12.
But you know, not even one a year.
Yeah.
Not, but we all thought someone's getting it every day, you know, and so on. You just think, well, okay, there was always going to be some unruly kids, but by having that in place, at least only 12. But he did say that, you know, some of them had it more than once.
Yeah.
So you're probably looking at probably about 7 or 8 kids.
Yeah.
In 22 years, but the discipline was there, and we don't have 15 fights in a day in certain schools, and I say there is that thing of, well, hang on a minute, should we still be caning people in this day and age? probably not.
Yeah.
There must be
a better
way. But
there should be a system in place to...
Like you say, the consistency has got to be there. They've got to apply something.
Back then, kids didn't misbehave or anything because the cane is quite humiliating, especially when someone canes you in front of like the whole class and you may start crying. No one wants to really experience that. And I think that's why... I think more kids in this day just get away with so much more trouble.
Because now it's just, you've got detention.
It's just getting shouted at.
Yeah.
But they just avoid the detention.
Exactly. And, like, what they do is, like, most of our schools, like, you can hear someone's doing something and then one teacher will go, "We will call your parents." But like you said, it's, like, it's usually the same people that do the things, which means their parents already know they do that. It's not like a new thing.
Yeah, it's not a...
And I don't see how they think, oh, by calling the parents again, that's going to make a difference, no, that's going to change it.
The things we do at the moment, the most anybody gets is a suspension before getting permanently excluded, which is just a couple of days off school, and they're like, all right, do that more often, because that's all they're getting, a couple of days off school.
Yeah, it sounds appealing to some people.
Exactly.
It's summer's here, want to sit in the garden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's have some time out. Look, we're running out of time. We've got about 4 minutes left. So if there's a couple of other topics you want to squeeze in.
Drinking and drug abuse isn't a good way to get through your problems. It doesn't help at all. It makes it worse. So don't try and resort to that.
Are you talking from experience?
No.
Right. I'm just
no.
Okay.
Don't resort to drinking because it doesn't help. There's a couple of family members that are alcoholics in my family, and they're not in a good way, and it's just not fun. And all you're doing is killing yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes those kind of people are the people that you want to go back into schools and just look at me. This is me. I've made a right mess up of it. You can do the same if you want.
We did actually have that quite recently. Like, our school did a thing on drugs, and they brought in someone who was, like, a heroin addict.
Oh, yeah, that was to do with the festival.
Yeah. They brought in, like, someone who was a heroin addict for many years.
Yeah, he was addicted to heroin.
Was he a big, muscly chap?
No, not really.
No, he's quite
we had a guy in here
smaller.
That was... And he was absolutely brilliant. He was okay.
Yeah, no,
he was really good.
Around. Yeah, no, he's completely fine now, but that... Like you say, he explained how bad his life was getting.
And how he got to that point, like what kind of thing.
He started at such a young age, our age, and then it just spiraled out of control.
And like we said, you have like obviously the influence from Pierce, but also he said like he had family problems, like he had an uncle who used to deal with drugs or something. So it's like loads of things that can affect people like that.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you wanted to speak just now.
So. With the drugs, this guy explained how it just started off with experimenting with weed and all that.
Yeah.
But then it gets addicting, and then they want to go on to more hardcore drugs, like maybe meth or something, cocaine. And on the island, to do with alcohol anyway, it is the highest percent of underage drinking in the UK here. And... I feel like alcohol, it messes with your brain. It turns you into a completely different person, depending on how much you had. If you're sensible with it, it won't really affect you. But if you are constantly drinking, it will really have a effect on your mind, and you'll become a more violent person as well.
No, not all the time. A drink is fun. Let's be honest, it is.
Yeah.
But abusing it isn't. So yeah, just
it could also lead it. Sometimes it leads to depression as well.
Yeah,
drinking.
Exactly. It does lead to many health problems, and yeah, that's not a way out. Is get some help. Go to the NHS website. Anything. Ask somebody. Talk to. Go into a medical clinic. Anything. Don't feel that you should hide it, because it's not a insane thing. It's completely normal. We're all going to experience it at some point in our life. So, you know, ask anyone. It's okay to talk about.
Do you know what's really lovely about spending some time with you this lunchtime is that you're all three very level-headed people that have good hearts and so on, and you know the sad thing is that some of you have had to go through some pretty tough times too young, and I think that's what it amounts to, and I guess the message is to send to everybody out there is that you're not alone, and the best thing to do is talk about it.
Yeah,
get some help.
Yeah,
even if you think that there's nothing wrong, talk about it.
Yep.
At least try and find
and
out.
never bottle it up as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and even if there's nothing wrong, just talk about it still helps.
Yeah.
Hey, look, thank you, Oscar, and thank you, Kian, and thank you, Emily, as well. It's been great to spend some time with you this lunchtime. Stand by, because Tom's on the way with the afternoon show.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Vectis Radio.